The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Donald Trump just keeps on winning. They're only a couple of days into that Soviet show trial up there in New York, and they have picked some jurors, but Trump has the early lead here. The mediocrats love the spectacle, and they can't hide their glee. Joy Reid of MSNBC actually admitted to being thrilled by it all last night. She said she was thrilled that the idiot DA who's bringing charges in New York is black, and that Letitia James, the corrupt attorney general who's making Trump pay $450 million to the state of New York, is black, and that the corrupt, incompetent DA in Georgia is black. She says that Trump is obviously a racist and that this just makes it much more painful for him, and that's a good thing. But after being forced to spend the day in court yesterday, Trump took advantage of being in New York and paid a visit to the bodega in Harlem, where a clerk who defended himself by stabbing and killing a guy trying to rob him was charged with murder by the same DA who's charging Trump. And we're talking a Republican candidate for president here on the street in Harlem. And the crowd, including lots of black people, seemed to love him. And he made sure to remind them of the crime on the subways and in the streets with Bragg in charge. And Bragg and reminded them that Bragg loves to release suspects without bail. Well, the polls show that more and more black voters are supporting Trump, and it could be that the black DA who thought he was going to knock Trump out of the race may end up helping him win the race. For Trump, that would be called winning. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Trump's campaign, his campaign press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, about this and lots of other stuff. And in our second half hour, the producer of a documentary called Border Wars. I think you know what that's all about. Stick around. Well, Joe Biden came to Pittsburgh today to talk to steel workers. He says he wants to triple the tariffs on steel and aluminum from China, among other things. Caroline Leavitt is the press secretary for the Trump campaign. She joins us now. Caroline, thanks for coming on again. I appreciate it.
Hey, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
So is Joe taking a page from Donald Trump's playbook on this one?
Well, if, according to his White House, he is. In fact, his White House has said, as you just mentioned, they're going to triple tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum. Yet his campaign is singing a different message, John, and it's very, very interesting because the Biden campaign for weeks has been attacking President Trump's very effective tariffs on China, making baseless accusations about how they did not help American workers when that couldn't be further from the truth. And I know the great people of Pennsylvania know that. So while the Biden campaign is attacking the president for his effective tariffs, the Biden White House is, in fact, plagiarizing President Trump's economic agenda in an effort to increase the support of Bidenomics just ahead of the election. So I'm not sure if they're hypocrites or if the campaign and the White House are not on the same page. Either way, it's very clear that Joe Biden does not have a good economic agenda to bring this country back, and we're not sure if he'll even end up delivering on it.
Donald Trump took some heat not too long ago for saying that allowing American companies to move their plants to Mexico to build them more cheaply and then send them back up here would create a bloodbath. And, of course, the media focused on the words and the word bloodbath and not the actual problem. But he was kind of talking about that, wasn't he?
It's exactly what he was talking about. And if you look up the definition of bloodbath in the dictionary, the second definition is the fact that it's economic devastation to an industry. And that's exactly what President Trump was saying. And he's right. I mean, if you look at Joe Biden's economic policies that have created record high inflation that's hurting the bottom line of small businesses and businesses big and large in this country. And then he's doubling down on it with his radical mandates, such as his electric vehicle mandate that would force the auto industry in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, across this country to produce 50% of their vehicles as electric when the market just hasn't caught up to that. We don't have the infrastructure for it in this country. And frankly, the American people like driving their gas-guzzling trucks, as they should. President Trump wants the American people to have the freedom to choose what vehicle they drive. Joe Biden wants to force us to pick because he's controlled by the radical environmental extremists in this country. And so it will be a bloodbath for the auto industry if Joe Biden is allowed another 4 years. President Trump is right to say that. And there's also another bloodbath going on in this country, and that's at our southern border, because Joe Biden refuses to shut it down. And we're still facing an invasion of thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants every single day, which has added up to more than 14 million over the course of the last 3 years. And their crime is making its way to every American city, including Philadelphia, including Pittsburgh, and so many across this country.
Yeah, I'm coming up in my next segment. I'm going to have Nicole McCaw on. She's a producer of a documentary called Border Wars. So we're going to talk a lot about the borders coming up here on the show. So how is President Trump handling having to appear in court in New York City and also trying to campaign? I see it raised $1 million yesterday, by the way, or I guess it was yesterday.
Well, you know, John, it's very unfortunate. It is a shame for our country that President Trump is being forced to sit in a very dirty New York City courtroom for the next 6 weeks or so. I've been in that courtroom with him the past 2 days, and it's disgraceful to see what's happening to the former president of the United States. This is a place where real violent criminals should be getting prosecuted, not the former president who made this country great again, and not Joe Biden's lead opponent in this next election. And that's exactly what this is about. Alvin Bragg wants to remove President Trump from the campaign trail so he cannot bring his winning message to people of great states like Pennsylvania. But we're not going to let it slow us down. You may have seen yesterday after court, we actually stopped by a local bodega in Harlem, New York City, and the energy there was phenomenal. There were people, waving out of their apartment buildings. They were lighting the streets as our motorcade rolled through. This is in deep blue New York, and it just goes to show that Americans of all backgrounds, regardless of where you come from or what you do for work, what your race is, we're all fed up with Joe Biden's policies, with this inflation that's robbing us, with the wide open border that's causing chaos and crime in our communities. And President Trump tells it like it is, and he has real solutions to the many crises Joe Biden has created. And Alvin Bragg and Joe Biden's trial is not going to slow him down. It won't deter him. President Trump is tenacious and tough, and he'll continue to fight.
I want to get to the visit to the bodega in a second, but you mentioned being in that courtroom. I've seen reports that President Trump has fallen asleep. My response to that is he should bring a sleeping bag with him and tell the judge to wake him up when it's over. But is there any truth to that? That'd be great if he showed up with a sleeping bag.
Well, I'll tell you, after being in the courtroom for the first couple of days, you know, it makes you want to go to sleep because of how ridiculous it is, the fact that they're doing this and when President Trump should be on the campaign trail. But that report, I will say, is 100% fake news. I was in there with President Trump. These are reporters who are not in the courtroom, by the way, John. They are given access to a very blurry camera feed in another room down the hall, but they're not actually in the room with the president. And these are the same reporters who are leaking this information that they believe is true, which is not true, that are trying to tell us that Joe Biden does not have cognitive decline.
Yeah.
So we shouldn't be listening to them.
Yeah, so you mentioned that he was in Harlem at that bodega. I thought that was brilliant because, and I mentioned that in the opening of the show, that was yesterday that turned out to be a win for Donald Trump because he went from the stupidity of the court and the trial and everything that goes along with that, and he changed it and turned it into a win by having what looked like, as you said, a really enthusiastic crowd in Harlem. This is a white Republican president, former president and presidential candidate in Harlem being well received. That's not something we've seen, I don't know if ever before.
And it's not something you're going to see from Joe Biden, that is for sure. And, you know, the bodega that we went to is owned by Jose Alba, who is the gentleman, the bodega manager, who was robbed at gunpoint, stabbed, brutally attacked, and ended up killing the criminal that attacked him. And Alvin Bragg wrongfully accused Jose Alba of murder. In fact, he sent him to Rikers Prison for 6 days when it was a clear case of self-defense. They had it on video. Jose Alba was attacked, and he used his Second Amendment right to defend himself. And Alvin Bragg did not see it that way. And eventually, Jose Alba won that case. But President Trump went there to meet with the head of the Bodega Association because they have seen real crime in their stores. The bodegas are the backbone and really the heart of New York. They serve as a great community, you know, place for the Hispanic community especially. And the Bodega Association in the city has actually been helping these bodega owners and managers get their concealed carry permits, which in New York is nearly impossible to do. But because they've seen so much repeated crime because of Alvin Bragg's soft on crime lawlessness policies. And it's the same guy who is using resources in New York to go after the former president. So when we were out there yesterday, you had people who were very familiar with Jose Alba and what happened to him in their community saying, "Lion Bragg, Lion Alvin Bragg," because they know that he is a corrupt person who doesn't care about protecting law and order for the real people of New York. He just cares about getting Donald Trump at the behest of Joe Biden.
We're talking to Caroline Levitt. She's the press secretary for the Trump campaign. What kind of numbers, Caroline, is your polling showing on black support?
It's showing that we are winning African-American voters by a historic margin that no Republican candidate has ever done in history. President Trump is picking up more than a quarter of the African-American vote, and we're going to make sure that number stays come November the 5th. We're going to continue to outreach to this community and to talk to them about how Joe Biden in his decades-long career has done nothing for the African-American community, other than, frankly, say many racist things throughout his entire tenure in public service. When President Trump actually delivered, when President Trump was in the White House, unemployment for African-Americans was a record low. Inflation was non-existent. We had law and order in our inner cities, not crime and lawlessness, which we see taking far too many lives in these cities every single day. And so, the president will continue to outreach this community. We'll continue to go see them while the president is stuck in New York City for the next several weeks for this trial.
So this seems to me that it could end up being the story of this election. If the number I saw was 21%, the last one I saw, I think that was on Fox. You say it's 25. That's the same ballpark. That if that happens, there's no chance. Joe Biden can't win. There's no chance he could
exactly.
win. And so that would be that would turn out to be the story of the election. But wouldn't it be more than that? Because it would also, it wouldn't just be about this election. It would be about a huge part and a dependable part of the Democrat constituency saying they've had enough. And you guys have been promising and not delivering, and we're done. And that, to me, that's mm-hmm. the biggest story right now.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. We're seeing a huge swing towards President Trump from these voters, from Hispanic Americans as well, who President Trump is winning. He's beating Joe Biden with Hispanics right now because they see what's happening at our southern border, and it's infuriating to them. Many Hispanic Americans in this country are legal immigrants who came here the right way, who paid their dues and waited their turn, and are trying to live their American dream, and they are seeing millions of people from all around the world, Russia, China, Iran, Afghanistan. We have known terrorists crossing the border, and they're being flown around on government-funded flights. They're being allowed to apply for work authorization in this country, and then they're going on to commit heinous crimes, and they're released back into our communities. All Americans want the same things. We all want peace. We all want prosperity. We all want safety for ourselves and our families and our children. And Joe Biden has failed to deliver on every single one of those needs for the American people. And that's why you see him dropping support with virtually every single demographic except for out-of-touch elitists in Hollywood and limousine liberals who live in their gated communities but don't want to build the southern wall on our border, who have private security with guns for themselves but don't want us to have guns to protect ourselves. So, you know, those are the types of people that support Joe Biden. But everyday hardworking Americans should support President Trump because he will deliver on the issues that matter to us and our families, and that's, again, bringing down inflation to nothing, making the cost of gas cheap again, securing our southern border, and making sure the law enforcement in our communities has the resources and the support that they need to get violent criminals off our streets and keep our neighborhoods safe.
Biden decided to use the contract that Caitlin Clark signed after being the first overall pick in the WNBA draft to say this on X. I guess it was last night or today. I don't believe it's him actually saying it, but this is what was up there. It's time that we give our daughters the same opportunities as our sons and ensure women are paid what they deserve, unquote. Aside from being really dumb and not understanding the difference between the WNBA and the NBA, that's some world-class pandering there.
It sure is. And I can, I would bet you, John, that that is not Joe Biden himself even tweeting that. I don't even think he knows how to access his own phone. Never mind, has the cognitive ability to string together a sentence and put it out. He can hardly speak. And I'll tell you something, it's a lot different on our team. The president puts out statements on his own. He calls the shots. We're just here to execute, and we follow his lead. And that's why we win every single day, because President Trump is so dialed in to the issues of this country. He knows the news better than anyone. He understands what's going on. He understands the needs of the American people, and he's going to continue to fight all the way through.
Well, the polls show support for Trump among married women, but not much at all from single women. How can that be fixed, or are they a lost cause at this point?
Well, we do see, you know, that there is a large constituency in this country of unmarried liberal women who are driven by, you know, social issues. However, you know, they too are realizing slowly but surely that Joe Biden's America is turning into a hellhole. You see what happened to Lakin Riley, who was a young woman on her campus in Georgia who went out for a morning run and was killed at the hands of an illegal immigrant. I mean, that's every woman's worst nightmare. And I think as these more and more of these nightmares become realities in America, and more women start to wake up to the fact that liberal policies actually do not help us, they hurt us, we'll start to see more and more of those women voting Republican.
Is it all about abortion, really, with them?
For many of them, yes, it is, but not the majority of Americans. It's not even on the top five list, you know, issue list for most Americans. Most Americans care about immigration and inflation, and those are the issues we're going to continue to focus on.
So, last thing here for Caroline Leavitt, and again, thanks for coming on. What would you say, what is the, just to clear it up, what's the Trump campaign's official stance on abortion here as we sit here in April?
The official stance is what President Trump has repeatedly said for many years, and that is this is an issue that belongs to the states. President Trump supports the rights of states to make these decisions and to make them according to the will of the people in their respective states. And our position is also that it is Joe Biden and the Democrats who are the radicals on this issue of abortion. Joe Biden and the Democrats support aborting an unborn child up until the moment of birth, in some cases even after, and the vast majority of people don't agree with that radical policy proposal. So we're actually on the side of the American public on this. It's up to we the people to decide on the issue, and that's where President Trump stands.
Hey, Caroline, I'm sure we'll talk again between now and November, but I appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Anytime, and we look forward to returning to Pennsylvania.
Oh,
we had a great rally there this past weekend.
Yeah, one last question real quick. When's Donald Trump coming to Pittsburgh?
Hey, we will be there very soon. I can assure you of that. We so appreciated the love and support we saw on the other side of the state, just outside of Allentown, this past weekend. It was a beautiful evening, a great rally. It gave President Trump a lot of energy as he fights Biden trial this week. So we'll be back very soon, John, and we will let you know, and I'll join the show when we come back.
Thank you very much, Caroline. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye. We'll be right back. The guy responsible for protecting our borders, Alejandro Mayorkas, has been impeached. The impeachment articles were actually delivered to the Senate today, but all you have to do is ask him. He'll tell you that our borders are secure. And we'll see if he ever actually has to defend himself in a trial in front of the Senate. That's looks like it's very iffy. Nicole McCaw is a documentary producer. She has Exhibit A for the prosecution It's called Border Wars. That's the documentary name. She joins us now. Nicole, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me on.
So, first of all, where can people watch Border Wars?
You can go to my website, borderwarsdoc.com, borderwarsdoc.com, and check it out.
Oh, that's simple. That's not, I can even handle that. So what will be the biggest takeaway for people who watch it?
The biggest takeaway is how you can be your own small grassroots movement to create the storm that's needed to help save the country and make a true change. Here's the biggest shocker I will tell you, is that in my film, I have actual American girls who were trafficked and groomed online by someone who is here, who came through the open border in the last few years, held her in a basement in Long Island for 3 years to be sold 20, 30 times a night to construction workers.
Okay, run that by me again. This is these are women who were trafficked by people, an illegal immigrant who came across the border.
Yep. The people who are here are also not only taking our children from the streets and stealing them, but they also have handlers who are online grooming children for 2 years, 3 years, and then they decide to meet up with them. And this is how they get them to be locally trafficked rather than trafficked straight from the border, because there's multiple avenues and channels for trafficking, not just one circumstance alone.
So when I hear... Go ahead. No, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I apologize. So in the film, I interview a woman named Christy Moore who was trafficked by someone who is here illegally that groomed her through the border. And she's from Action Park, New Jersey.
Now how does he, what do you mean groomed her through the border? What do you mean by that?
He made a fake profile. He said he was 14, that, you know, was a female looking for friends. You know, he claimed to have been having a hard time with the family, lost her father, and kind of mimicked her story to get her to believe that this person was safe. So after a year or so, he decided that he was going to reveal who he really was. Then after year two, he decided that it was safe enough to meet up with her and give her mother a fake ID and convince the mother that it would be okay for the daughter to go with him for a weekend vacation. And the daughter wasn't seen after that and was held in a basement in Long Island, New Jersey for 3 years.
How does that happen? That's just stunning.
It isn't it? I mean, to be honest, I didn't expect her to share that part of the journey. And really, I wish I could have put her entire interview into the film, because her interview was 4 hours. And the film is only 1 hour, 20 minutes long. But I wanted to show Americans how easily this can happen to you, your nieces, your nephews, your children, your family members. So the open border affects every single community, not just directly related at the border itself.
Yeah, see, when I hear trafficked, I think most people would think the same thing. What I think of is a kid being taken maybe from a Central American country and delivered across the border to people here, but not so much people coming across the border and doing their grooming and trafficking with American kids on this side.
Absolutely. Now, I'll give you something else that was very interesting that I, mind you, I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Mm-hmm. So in every state, trafficking looks different from state to state. Now, what's unique about the Blade in Houston is that these girls are openly trafficked. It's not like when you come to Detroit, the trafficking is more hush-hush. It's more from basement to basement, maybe like a backdoor parlor. But here, you have these girls open and walking in the streets, and we show that footage out on the Blade in Houston.
And basically you're talking about prostitution.
No, here's the difference. Prostitution is when a girl goes out and she's looking to perform a deed, okay, an illicit deed, mm-hmm. and gets money in exchange. Then she's going to go out and get her crack rock, her heroin pack, whatever, her super pack, whatever she's looking for. But girls who are being groomed, for example, you'll have women who are like 23, 24 years old called bottoms. And these bottoms are top-handling women who will go to high school parties, and they will, you know, bring marijuana with them. They'll bring some alcohol, and they'll get to know some of these girls, show them, hang out with them, give them a good meal, and see if they're broken down enough, mentally hurting in a way to where they can go and convince them, oh, just shoot a little video here and we'll get you. And then that's how they start to bring them in piece by piece. They look for these people who are not necessarily healthy, individuals who would have a more of a strongening consciousness. So you have women who are handlers, and that's how they're finding American girls to be trafficked, not prostituted. It's two different things.
Well, I guess I'm thinking of it from the person who's paying for the service. Somebody's money's being exchanged somewhere, correct?
Correct. Now, in the documentary film, we have some footage that we have where when we went out on the blade, imagine two empty parking lots on a long side street. As we pull up to this side street, it looks like it's a really long line. I'm like, wow, are we in line to get like maybe some KFC, maybe some Chick-fil-A? No. This was the line to receive illicit deeds with minors. And when you turn down the street, the girls walk right up to the cars. They flick the door handles and say, want a track? You want a track? You want a track? And they try to get into the vehicles. And then once the deed is performed, they get out. The gorilla pimp walks up. He handles the girl, gets the money, and the next customer and the girl goes back out. You'll see this all in the film.
Amazing. And how much of what's presented in the documentary, and again, it's called Border Wars, and we're talking to one of the producers, Nicole McCaw, how much of what's presented did you witness yourself?
100%. I'm the creator, mm-hmm. I am the producer, and co-director.
Okay.
And what we have is 200 hours of footage of boots-on-the-ground operations where me and my team went out, whether we worked with the three-letter agencies, formal special forces teams, whether we worked with private investigators, cyber teams, to learn the depravity of what's happening to America's children and how the border relates to that and how the government is, in fact, complicit and illicit in child sex trafficking. They're aiding and abetting this sex trafficking.
Yeah, I think the word I saw was that this is federal government orchestrated. Can you explain
Correct.
That? What do you mean by that?
Okay, so we'll give an example here. So, for example, you know, the NIH announced a couple months ago, we lost 155,000 children from the border. 155,000. Can you imagine if I lost three children?
Yeah. Well, that's about half the population of Pittsburgh.
Okay, great. Can you imagine if half the population of Pittsburgh's children just disappeared and everyone said, oh, well, that happens. We're not sure. No. Now, what's interesting is that when everybody said, no, we're not flying the children, we're not sending them to unvetted homes, we ran ops with those who have the right jurisdictions, the right licensings to run ops in the state of Tennessee. And we got the footage. Our individuals went and talked to these individuals, whether they were the pilots, whether they were the Uber drivers who were hired off of Craigslist for a $1,500 gift card to drive children to an unvetted location without their parents.
Now, where are the parents? What happens to the parents? How are they separated from their parents?
So that's something that we also addressed in the film. Now, I'm told I'm a racist if I say you can't come in at the border and we want to check your background.
Uh-huh.
So I'm told that everyone is from Mexico. Don't be a racist. I said, oh, great. Don't be a racist. I'm going to go to the border and see. So, you know those freezer 1 gallon zip bags?
Yeah.
That we use, right? So in one night, I collected three of those full of passports, IDs, sonograms of pregnant ladies, coins, children's clothing that had from around 100 countries. We only have, 196 nations in the world?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of different kind of people coming in at the border, which begs the question, if you don't have access to free or to clean water, clean food, transportation, and you're living in squalor, how did you make it 3,000 miles across the open ocean up through Central America to the Mexico-Texas border without assistance?
Who's assisting, mostly?
So what we found where the Red Cross and has been helping give mats, United Way, the World Economic Forum, they're posting mats, places to stop to get water, safe places to be in checkpoints. They're all aiding and abetting in child sex trafficking. Here's let me stand in a little business here and give a little receipt to back up what I'm saying. Now, in one night, we detained 100 illegals. 48 were men. The other 52 right? No, 60, 62 were children, zip-tied and sedated on Zoloft. When our linguists asked the men, where's the wives? Where's the mothers? This is weird. All 48 told me they're getting a divorce. Really? At 3:32 a.m. at the Texas-Mexico border? Yeah? Where you guys going, Chuck E. Cheese?
How old are these kids?
At 12 and under. Zip-tied and sedated on Zoloft. Are you a father who ever zip-tied and sedated your child?
No. That's crazy.
No, this is what I saw with my own eyes. You'll see me. I'm in the film. You'll hear my voice. I'm there the entire time.
Well, the film is Border Wars. Tell us where they can see it again, Nicole.
BorderWarsDoc.com, BorderWarsDoc.com.
Okay, everybody should check it out. So how long will we be paying the price for the amount of fentanyl that's been coming across?
Until the administration decides to get the gall to tell the CCP no. And here's where I am saying this is coming from China. The Chinese Communist Party completes 88% of all pharmaceuticals. They complete or help in assisting to create. Now, fentanyl is only created, the components, in China. They pay PNC medical groups to make these pieces come together to create the fentanyl only if they only give them the government medical contract if they agree to never sell it in China.
Wow. Well, and is it a stretch to say that China is waging chemical warfare? I think that's what you call it, against the U.S.
Absolutely. This is a new weapon of mass destruction, and we should go hard on China. We should be blocking them at every turn and cutting them down at the knees. The Communist Party, their theology, okay, their ideology is rooted in Satanism. It's literally Karl Marx, you can read his biography, he brags about using black magic to summon the voice of Satan to create this ideology. Now they're going to use it as a form of government. It's the only form of government that actually takes on humankind as its mortal enemy.
So what is the
difference? That's what we're facing.
What is the difference between what the Republicans are trying to do or not do to fix this problem and what the Democrats are doing or not doing?
98% of these politicians, they're in cahoots together. Let's just be honest. It's not a label. It's the deep state against the world's good people. That's how I'm looking at it. They cover it up with these labels and these names. You can't lie to someone who can see that it's communism. You can't lie to anybody. You can see that a lot of these individuals, well, they've had the opportunity for decades. I'm born in 1984. These politicians are lying lifetime politicians. They're 98% are just lying or only using the situations to benefit themselves. Look at Speaker Johnson. We all thought he was coming in clutch. He was going to sign away. He was going to block all these communist things. He wasn't going to give money to the Ukraine. Look what happened.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Here's the other thing that I, this is something that I find very hard to understand or maybe believe, is what the NGOs are. And I've got about 3 minutes left here. What the NGOs are and what they're doing and why that's not getting enough attention.
You know, this was something that really shocked me and really disturbed me and just really grinds my gears, is that a lot of these NGOs, they claim NGO, but when you get there and you start meeting the facilitators who actually work in these facilities and they start telling you who's really coming into pay along the border, let me tell you, it's the cartels. Let me even tell you, there's another one called Lupe here in Florida we investigated. It's supposed to be a Catholic charity. Guess what? Aiding and abetting, helping the cartels with sex trafficking, taking money on the side. That's what we're facing because people are in hard times, economically, mentally, physically. They're in hard times. But in these last 2 minutes, can we close with the hope and the goodness? May we do that?
Yeah. Real quick, though, just these are Catholic, Mormon, and Lutheran charities that are involved here.
Yes.
And do they think they're doing well and they're mistaken, or do they know exactly what they're doing and they're doing it anyway?
I think they're consciously aware of what's happening, and I think that the threat upon their life and what's happening, that they're very scared. A lot of people are functioning out of fear right now. I don't think they're super crazy evil people and everyone is an evil person. I do think that individuals are put into situations where they have to make a life choice. I'm not saying it's okay to do what they're doing. What I am saying is that we now have to scrutinize and expose these NGOs, these charities, if they are not doing the good works they say they are, and to be brave.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start being brave. And here's the hope. It only took 2% of the colonial population to create the Continental Army. And at that time, they took on the most organized, the most financially secure, and the largest organization, as I like to say, at that time. They owned most of the world, right, two-thirds, something wild like that. But we took them on. Why? Because we were brave. In Detroit, we like to say we came out to stand on business. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of good people who are doing the small grass work, like the small grassroots movements. And that's how we win. That's how we win. We got this. We got this. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, the documentary is called Border Wars. You can find it at borderwarsdoc.com. Sounds like very much, it's very much worth the watch. And I'm going to check it out. Nicole, I haven't seen it yet, but I really appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, that's Nicole McCaw, and she produced this borderwarsdoc.com. I'll be right back. How about we finish with some sports? You ever heard of Jonte Porter? Well, if you haven't heard from him, heard of him as a basketball player, you're never going to hear of him again as an NBA player. He was banned for life today by the NBA after the league found out he disclosed confidential information to sports bettors, wagered on games, even betting on the Raptors to lose. How long has gambling actually been quote-unquote legal in America? It hasn't been that long. When you get to be my age, it's 5 years seems like 10 and 3 seems like 5. And so I don't know how long it's been, but it's not been all that long. And as I said here a couple of times, it's only a matter of time till one of the major sports leagues has a gigantic gambling problem. And it's because they are so much in bed with bettors right now. They make tons of money from gambling sites and like FanDuel, and they have on NBA pregame shows, they put the odds up. They have prop bets that you can make on how many points a guy is going to score or whatever. Well, this guy, Jonte Porter, was banned for life because he disclosed confidential information. He's the second person to be banned by Adam Silver, the commissioner, for violating league rules. The other was the former L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling in 2014. But Silver called Porter's actions blatant. He said, "There is nothing more important than protecting the integrity of NBA competition for our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with our sport." See, I'm going to disagree with Adam here about nothing being more important than protecting the integrity of NBA competition for our fans. I've just been searching my brain for something that might be a little more important than protecting the integrity of the NBA. What would that be? I don't know. How about money? Okay? And the money that they're making from all this gambling that's going on, and the money that the gambling outlets are spending advertising with the NBA, and they're all happy to take it. And why would anybody be surprised that this happened? This happened, and nobody should be surprised, not if, when it happens again. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.